Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Last time we were in John's Gospel at chapter 12, as we consider the sharp contrast between Mary of Bethany and Judas Iscariot. We said that Mary's friendship with Christ expressed itself in love for her Savior, as she emptied the costly vial of perfume on Christ's body. Whereas Judas, the enemy of Christ, expressed himself in wanting to withdraw Mary's gift for the Savior. Mary was a true friend of Christ, but Judas was a true enemy. Let me read to you John 12, verse 7. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial." Jesus tells Judas and the other disciples who had agreed with Judas to back off Mary. And then the Lord adds this intriguing statement, "She may keep it for the day of my burial." What does Jesus mean by this? That's what we want to discuss today here on God Is, as we pick up where we left off yesterday. What Jesus does with this statement is to draw our attention to Mary's act, pouring out the perfume, as a way to make sense of his death on the cross. He interprets her act in light of his impending death. Remember, as they meet around this table, it is the start of the final week of Christ's human life. Jesus will be dead within only a matter of days. The Lord has told his disciples before that he is going to die, but they have had a very difficult time absorbing this truth. And yet, Mary seems to get it. At the very least, she is prepared to anoint him for his burial with this perfume of pure nard. And to help us understand what Jesus says, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial," I'm turning today to theologian and author A.B. Bruce and his consequential work on discipleship, The Training of the Twelve. This was first published in 1871. That's right, 1871. That is 151 years ago. But you know what? It might as well have been written yesterday. The edition I have is written in an easy-to-understand English, and it's extraordinarily insightful. This book has been highly influential in my life, and I want to share with you what A.B. Bruce says about this very verse in John, because he articulates what he sees better than anyone else I have read. So let's take a look together at his insights, shall we? These are the conclusions of Alexander Balmain Bruce. I've summarized Bruce's words into three main insights. First, the motive of Mary's act and Jesus' death is pure love. Second, Mary's act and Jesus' death were both self-sacrificing in character. And third, Mary's act and Jesus' death on the cross were both extravagant in nature. Let me just repeat those for those of you who take notes, and then we'll look at them one at a time. First, the motive of Mary's act and Jesus' death is pure love. Second, Mary's act and Jesus' death were both self-sacrificing in character. And third, Mary's act and Jesus' death on the cross were both extravagant in nature. Let's get a little more detail and look at the first of these by talking about the motive of Mary and Jesus. I hope it has been clear from our original reading of what I said about Mary already that she really deeply loved her Lord. In fact, she loves Jesus so much that she is compelled to go get her most prized possession, that alabaster vial of perfume, to break open the jar and pour it all over Jesus. Likewise, Jesus Christ loves sinners so much that he is compelled to pour out his life for us. A.B. Bruce writes, quote, "Jesus so loved sinners as to lay down his life for them." We might also say he so loved them that he must needs come and die for them. Jesus must ask and obtain leave to go down to their assistance. Notice the emphasis in Bruce's writing on must. It is the love of God that compels Jesus to take leave of heaven and come down to earth as a man, to be humiliated as a person in order that he will die for our sins, taking our place of death on his cross. And what Jesus sees in Mary is a similar kind of love. Love is her motive. And so it is no wonder that Jesus says the kind of love Mary has for him is what marks the gospel. In Matthew 26, verse 13, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." This gospel. Yes, love is the motive of the gospel. And so Jesus commands us to love him and others as Mary loves him. The motive of Mary's act and Jesus' death is pure love. Compelling love. And I love him so much that I must act. I have to act. Or in the case of Jesus, I love them so much. I must act. I have to act. And I am going to be their savior from sin. Herein is something else that I do not want you to miss, friends. And Bruce points this out. God loves us. And yet, he writes, we are slow to believe that love is a reality for God. Isn't that true? I do not know about you, but I have wrestled with this in my life in earnest ways. Does God truly love me? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, God loves me. And oh, how God loves you. His love is so all-consuming that he must send Jesus to the agony of the crucifixion to secure the blameless, perfect blood sacrifice for our sins. God knows that only Jesus will satisfy the requirements of God's own holiness, and so he willingly sends his one and only Son for all who will believe in him. Again, linking Mary's act to Jesus' death, Bruce writes of Jesus' take on Mary's sacrifice. Quote, "Let the aroma of her ointment circulate about the neighborhood of my cross and help you to discern the sweet savor of my sacrifice. Fail not to see in my death my loving heart and the loving heart of my Father revealed." End quote. I agree with Bruce. This is why Jesus says that Mary may keep it for the day of my burial. In the motive of Mary's act, we find pure love. And that pure love is also what motivated Jesus' cross. This is a beautiful and practical reality for us. God loves you. And how much does he love you? He sent Jesus to die for you. He was compelled to. Love had so swollen up within God that he must send Jesus for us. Hallelujah! What a Savior! Oh, how I want you to capture this as we come to Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Just in case you didn't really capture it, let me repeat A.B. Bruce's words again on this, the first insight. He's writing about Jesus' lesson on Mary's sacrifice of the perfume, and he says, quote, "Let the aroma of her ointment circulate about the neighborhood of my cross and help you to discern the sweet savor of my sacrifice. Fail not to see in my death my loving heart and the loving heart of my Father revealed." Well, let's move on to my second insight derived from Bruce's work. Second, Mary's act and Jesus' death were both self-sacrificing in character. Mary's act and Jesus' death were both self-sacrificing in character. Here, the theologian picks up on what Jesus says about Mary over in Mark's account of this true story. Let me read to you Mark chapter 14 and verse 8. You want to get this highlighted in your Bible, Mark 14, verse 8. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. I love that. Mary has done what she could. In other words, Mary has expended all of her resources. She spent what she had on Christ. Well, now that's very convicting, isn't it? Have I spent all that I have on him? Have you? Are our gifts presented to Jesus as lavish as Mary's? Remember, that perfume was worth at least a year's wages. So an exact comparison monetarily would be to ask, when is the last time we gave a year of our wages to Jesus? I invite you to wrestle with that question today. And the comparison to the cross is clear. Bruce writes, quote, Jesus also did what he could. Whatever it was possible for a holy being to endure in the way of humiliation, temptation, sorrow, suffering, yea, even in the way of becoming sin and a curse, Jesus willingly underwent. It was indeed Christ's pleasure to suffer for our redemption. Far from shrinking from the cross, he looked forward to it with earnest desire. He had no thought of achieving our salvation at the smallest possible cost to himself. His feeling was rather, the more I suffer, the better. The more thoroughly I shall realize my identity with my brethren. End quote. Who are Christ's brethren? That's us. That is anyone who today has faith alone in Christ alone. It is we who believe in Jesus Christ. I say it again, what a Savior he is. Tomorrow we will come to the third of these insights into how Jesus uses Mary's act as a reflection of his cross. Join us then, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.